نحمد و نصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في قران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه الفضل والغمر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
In our everyday lives, we are busy. There are programs and schedules upon schedules attached to a human being. Sometimes there's this task to do, sometimes there's this schedule to complete, some difficulty to overcome, and all of these tasks we have to complete. And how does the human being take these tasks and actions to completion? If we question this and think about it, that any action or task of the dunya, to complete that, to take it to completion, the most important and necessary thing is what? Very simple point. That you have to work hard, make effort. But there's a thing bigger than that, more important than that. Until you don't have that, then the effort and hard work cannot be done either. And that in reality is the main component, due to which the actions of a human being are completed, whatever the plans in his mind, that plan is completed at that time along with this component. And what is that thing? It is focus, thinking, attention, focus. You don't understand what I'm saying? How? That first and foremost, the thing that you want to do, for that you need to focus on that, you need to think about that, you need to pay attention to it. Give it due regard. And when you think about that task, you think about that action, you focus on the action, then will be the next step, will be the practical effort and hard work. Very simple. Any action you take of the dunya, it will go with this order, in this manner. When you see that many people, they are successful, some are failures, and the reason, the main reason behind that is what? Listen attentively, is focus and attention on that task. For example, I'll give you an example, then you'll understand everything. Let's say you want to purchase a home or get a home. That, for example, people, that's what they do in life, in a house, car. Let's take the example of a house. So what we'll do now is that to get the house, to obtain a house, first and foremost, what do we need? We need a focus. Thinking. The more a person considers it, thinks about it, and pays attention to it, then more he will implement for that, actions for that. And then what happens is that he'll look after it so much, and then as he gathers his collections for the house, whilst he's walking, he'll think about the house, whilst he's sitting, he'll think about the house, whilst he's moving, he's thinking about the house. Somebody else is talking about something else, he'll say, have you seen a house? Oh, I need a house with this many rooms. And this is called paying attention. His attention is forming. For example, I was going somewhere, and I remember the example, a person stopped me, he was a foreigner from abroad, and he said to me that, have you got anything? Do you know that if there's a 3 or 4 bedroom, any type of house, anyone you know, somebody who's related to you, is there anybody who you know? Whilst I was on the road, he stopped me. Then I looked at him, kept on looking at him, I didn't recognize him, know him. So all of this that came in my mind, I am fetching from that example and sharing it with you. Because in my everyday life, a person learns. And so the message, if you like it, then do amal on it, practice on it. It's your choice. But what I understood, I kept on looking at him. I said, you don't know me, you don't recognize me. While I'm walking here, you've stopped me. And then first I was taken aback a bit. Isn't somebody who's going to sort of hit or have a fight or something, is he? Then I stopped. I said, oh, he has a need. Then I said, give me 2 minutes, let me think. Then maybe somebody comes to mind from Allah. Maybe somebody's name I'll remember. Because to help somebody is a very good thing. And to help, you don't see, is he a Muslim, non-Muslim, Sikh or other faith. What we need to see is that Allah Ta'ala's order is to help a human being. And so you help him for the sake of humanity, human being. So you get thawab, reward. And then I tried hard, thought about it, I couldn't understand, realized no name came to my mind. Then suddenly I saw a shop in front. They do this work, I won't say his name because there will be publicity then. I said, these people, they do the work of real estate. Ask them, they're here, and their shop was in front, the office. He said, yes, I know that. I'll go there. I said, okay, I've got my thawab, alhamdulillah. So what was the point here? That he had a focus and attention, a regard. He didn't think, do I know this person? I don't know this person. He grabbed hold of me. And don't know how many people he must have grabbed before that. You understand clearly what I'm saying now? So what was it? That inshallah, I have yaqeen upon this. Because his attention and thoughts and was on the task. So until the evening, he will attain the house. Because Allah Ta'ala's help comes after that. So if you want to meet someone, you have an interview, or you have to meet somebody, an appointment. So the most important thing you need is to think about it, focus on it. If you take the thinking out of your head, the focus, there are people, I forgot about it, I had to meet that person, I wasn't thinking about that, I didn't think about it, I didn't pay attention, and then it goes, isn't it? So if you have to go on the journey, the first and foremost, what do we need? We need the focus. Pay attention. When you pay attention, a person prepares in the night, he packs his goods, he corrects his passport, etc. And there are people like that who don't pay attention, they didn't pay regard, and then they forget their passport at home, somebody forgets his ticket, somebody forgets his phone, because he's not thinking, he's thinking less about those important things to take. These few examples I've given to you, and I'm trying to bring you to the point that the real thing that a person needs to do for a human being is what? Say loudly, is focus and attention. Think about something. So do you agree with me what I'm saying? In all actions and tasks. Totally, when you complete a task properly, the more harder an effort you put into the thinking, the planning, the attention, then quicker the action will be completed. The more quickly it will be completed. And the person that reaches to the end point, the destination. So my brothers, now what we need to think is Allah Ta'ala has sent us, why has He sent us to this world? Why? Not to earn money or food, etc. These are the requirements of life. Obviously, we have to fill the stomach, we have to get a house to live in, we have to get a car to drive. These are the necessities of life, the requirements of life. We have to complete this, but these aren't our objective, are they? Why? Because if these were our objective, then my car would be going with me into the janazah. There'll be a box that take his car also, take his watch, take his house. The angels ask that, did you register this property, the house, take that with you into the grave, and take his shop and his business into the grave, because he has to show these things in the hereafter, and his property's got to go with him so that he can get the rewards after. So there's no value of these things. Have you ever seen that? That even Sikandar went and he took his hands out of the grave. Yes, and the kings, they pass away. And they fight all lifelong, work hard all lifelong for the throne. But when they depart from the world, everything is finished. Nothing in their hands, they depart and they go to the next world. So this is not our objective, material things. The objective is what? Think about that. We think about that less. What's our objective? Akhirah, preparation for the hereafter. Where we're going, how will my house be there? How will my wife be there and beautiful and good looking? Here we run after four. There Allah says, I'll give you 70 upon 70, Allah Ta'ala says. Your selection. Your selection. So how will the things be in the hereafter? And those who have yaqeen and belief in these things, we have yaqeen and of course we don't have, it's not that we don't have yaqeen. We have belief, we believe in these things, but also at the same time we don't have the certainty. Because our circumstances in life say that we don't have yaqeen. When we read the Quran, we think we've got yaqeen. When we pray salah, it looks like he's got yaqeen. But when we speak to people, it looks like he doesn't have yaqeen. That's why I say we have belief, but in reality we don't have that certainty and that faith. You understand what I'm saying? So in the same way, that our preparation is the real preparation is for the hereafter, and whoever has yaqeen, then he prepares for the hereafter, day and night, he has fikr, concern. Yes, and if you want to prepare for the hereafter, what is the akhirah? Very simple. The akhirah, the preparation for the hereafter is what? Very simple formula is what? The preparation for the hereafter is that Allah Ta'ala's orders to accept them whilst we're in this world. That's it. This is the preparation for the hereafter. Very simple. That what is the preparation for your hereafter? Is that all you have to do, Allah says, is to obey my orders, instructions, and don't do anything else. Yes, whatever I say to you, do, do it, Allah says. Whatever I tell you to refrain from, refrain from. Stop it. Don't argue here, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't argue here and clash with Allah. Why should I do this? This doesn't suit me. I do this and that. Because here it's not about argumentation. Allah's order, we have to implement it. Yes, doesn't matter whatever happens after that, etc. But what we need to do is we need to implement the action. Why? So that, because Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do it. Say Subhanallah. This is the preparation for the hereafter. Obeying Allah's instructions, orders. This is the preparation for the hereafter. Whoever has stuck to this task, then he is the great journeyman to the hereafter, and he will pass the test in the hereafter. He's got one criteria. What is Allah Ta'ala ordering with regards to this? What's he saying? Don't do. What's he telling us to stop? What's he saying? Don't do. What's he saying? Do. This is our life. We have to keep on thinking like this. Okay. So now we need to attain this. This is our task. This is our action. This is our objective in this world. And for this, Allah says, don't worry. Food, water, living quarters, and health. I am responsible for all of this for you. Allah says, whenever an issue arises, just turn to me, ask me, I'll keep on sorting out your issues. What else do we need? Allah says, I'll represent you. You just carry on working hard on your work, your occupation task for the hereafter. Don't step back. You need to complete that work, Allah says. That's it. Food, drink, and responsibility. Shaitan will say, oh, where are you going to eat from? Where are you going to earn from? Where are you going to get clothes from? How are you going to wear what clothes? Where are you going to live? Say once, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Say it with the heart to Allah. Say it with the heart. Allah, I leave all my affairs to you, my issues to you, in my life here in this world, and the task you've given to me, Allah, that's my responsibility, I will complete that. And then what we need to do is implement this. Do you understand the point? What is our work? What's our occupation? Preparation for the hereafter. And what's the preparation for the hereafter? To obey Allah's orders and instructions. Do this, don't do that. And that's what we need to not step back from. Clear what I've said? Understood? So now everything we do is what? Due to what? Where is a task completed and started and completed from? How is a task completed? By focusing and pay attention, thinking about the job in hand. So this is that job that Allah has given to us. The job, the task, Allah has given us an action that follow my orders. Whose order is it? Allah Ta'ala's order. Allah has ordered this, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala is the boss. Allah is the Malik. He's the employer. He's given us the order because we have to go to him. In the hereafter, Allah says that if you follow my orders, you'll be successful. And this is your job you need to do in the world, Allah says. How do we do that job? I've explained to you that every task you do, how will it succeed? Say loudly. By focusing, paying attention. Do you accept that? So how will we do this task of Allah's without focusing and paying attention? Why are we behind in this task that Allah's given to us? We're ahead in everything else. But why are we behind in this work? Why? Because we are not focusing on it. We're not thinking about it. Our focus on the dunya, houses, property, other things, but this action with which we have an objective, why are we behind? Why are we failing? Why are we losing? Because we're not focusing on it. We're not working hard by thinking about it. We're very weak in our thinking about the task Allah's given to us. We don't believe in Allah's orders. We don't say, Allah says haram, we say halal. Whatever's halal, we say haram. We change it because we follow our desires. We follow our choices. This is not our preparation for the hereafter. What's the reason? Is that our focus and attention and thinking is not what the job that Allah has given. And if it's not, if we're not thinking about it, then we can't complete the action. The examples I've given to you. And the more strong focus and attention you do on an action, the quicker that will be completed. Say Subhanallah. The example I gave to you of that person. The more focus and attention. Don't say, oh no, because la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the task He's given to us, the action He's ordered us to do. Remember this. Allah said in advance that whatever I tell you to do or whatever I tell you not to do, those actions are not beyond your capability. You are capable of doing them. Allah says, I do not give you the burden that you cannot pick up. I'm your Rabb. I'm your order. Will I tell you to do wrong? Allah knows that I've given Him strength, that Fajr time with ease He can come to here, to the masjid, for salah. Easily He can come. Allah says, come to Fajr. If we make excuses too hard, Allah, these are all excuses because we're not focusing on this action. This is our weakness. Otherwise, coming to salah is totally 100% according to our nature. Allah says, not one, not two, not three, not four. Allah says, 30 days, stop eating, drinking. Do we not do this in the month of the year? We do. Tell me, don't we? Why? Because at that time, we are focusing and working hard on the action. Ramadan has come. Allah Ta'ala has given us Taraweeh, other actions, extra. Always we're thinking about Ramadan in that month. So when your focus is solid, then easily the 30 days you pass of Ramadan.
Easily. Not one day can you pass without food or drink. If you stop eating during the day, you'll think, oh, I'm sick. Maybe I'm well. How will I pass the day? I'm not eating today. I'm not drinking. What happened at night?
That if you don't eat on time, one of the meals of the day is by the evening, you're in a poor state. Yes? But on the other hand, in Ramadan, 30 days Allah has tested us because our focus and attention and thinking is on Ramadan at that time. So any action under the sun Allah has not given that is hard for us to do. Nothing is that we have made it hard ourselves because we're not working hard and focusing on it. We're not paying attention to it. We're not thinking about it. The order that Allah Ta'ala has given. Listen, I'm telling you a masala now. Which order? Allah's order. Allah's the boss. Yeah, for example, you have an employer. He says to you, till the evening you need to do these actions at work. You're standing there and then you're starting to work 24 hours and your mind will be boss whilst you're in the factory. Oh, boss will come. You're looking at the work I've done. Quickly finish it. Oh, boss has come. You left. Has he come? Has he come? Oh, he's come. Oh, I haven't even finished what he told me to do. Yes, and he'll be overpowering your mind, overwhelming you. Look wherever you are. If you're in the office, even then, if someone says to you, you have to do this task, then that boss will overwhelm your mind and he's stuck to your brain cells until the evening. You will not leave until you've done the action he's given to you. This is the case, isn't it? You do it. So what we realize, the masala is this, that our failure, the loss of our hereafter, the issue in the hereafter will be because we never thought about our preparation. And these majalis are the places of thinking, these gatherings. Have you ever thought about this? Well, I'm saying, what a beautiful point I'm telling you. How Allah Ta'ala assists and helps. Allah assists and helps. I say, whoever comes to my dhikr, I open his heart. I open their hearts. And I will instill such words and formulas into their hearts so that I make deen easy for them to practice. So that definitely we've come for dhikr. Yes, we've come for dhikr. Allah said, I created angels for this person. I'll come to the point. Allah said, I created angels. Yes, for the dhakireen, those who remember me, Allah says, those people who come to the majlis, Allah says, angels have held my arsh, such big and strong angels, fantastic angels. It's their job, Allah says, you have no other job, just one task you got, do dhikrullah and keep on holding my arsh, Allah says to them. That's the instruction. So that's how great is dhikrullah, Allah's karam and grace on us, Allah's mercy and rahm on us, that the angels, that what they're doing, that they're doing the actions, angelic actions Allah Ta'ala has given to us, impure, dirty people, that you also, you can do dhikr, Allah says. So why is Allah giving us dhikr? Think about it. Why? So one thing that we need to pay attention, think that for the success in the hereafter, to make our hereafter, Allah has assisted us in this world. Allah says, you're in the world, you'll go astray, left, right, shaitan, he'll deviate you, nafs will come, desires will come. Allah says, let me help these people. How has Allah helped us? Allah says, I want to make their attention and focus and thinking solid. Allah says, I want them to think solidly about me. Who's the boss? Allah is the boss. Allah says, the more you think about me, the more you focus on me, then the more you will follow my ahkams, my orders. And this is from experience, I'm telling you this. The more a person pays attention to Allah, the more you think about Allah in your heart, then the more that human being will start traveling to Allah. The more he'll travel to Allah. Think about Allah. For example, that you're going towards sins, you're about to sin, then Allah, you start thinking about Allah, suddenly you'll leave that sin. Oh, I'm not doing this. Many examples I can give to you. An example, most sinful of people, that he's about to commit the sin with a female, a woman, and he gives her the bait, and she says, what are you about to do? What are you doing? Suddenly, he thinks about Allah, that man. What's coming? Suddenly, he thinks about Allah, and he jumps away from this. He says, sorry, forgive me. He's done that. He repented. Allah orders to the angels that write his name in the list of the walis. He's my friend now. SubhanAllah. This is Allah. Why? Because he has done such an action. Allah says, suddenly he's thought about me, paid attention to me, and he's discarded and rejected that sin. We said we can't leave the sins, I can't leave fahash and immodesty. Why? Because we don't focus on Allah. We don't think about Allah. All the sins that we commit after iman, after Quran, after salah, the reason for this is just one, that inside us, we do not think about Allah. We recite the Quran, we do talawat, and we commit sins at the time, we do hajj, we commit the sins. We backbite, we fight with people, we don't think backbiting is a sin, we don't think lying is a sin, we don't think fraud is a sin. So what sort of Islam is this, my friends? What sort of Islam is this? Islam is this, that whatever order, instruction Allah has given, practice according to that. And that's what Allah Ta'ala will ask us in the hereafter. So this weakness is for this reason that we don't do it, because Allah Ta'ala thinking about Allah, focusing on Allah, is very weak inside us. So what we need to do is to get their success through the action Allah has given to us. What do we need to do? Think it, say loudly. What do we need to do? We need to pay attention and focus strongly, make it strong. Who? Pay attention to who? Whose order is? Whose order is it? Whose order is it? Very simple. Allah. Very logical. Isn't it? That the more, whoever's order has come to us, Allah's, if we think about Allah more and more, make Allah's thoughts solid inside us, then it'll be easy for us to practice Allah's orders and we'll be fast in practicing. Just like the example of the world, I'll tell you. The world. Because our attention most definitely is weak. We commit sins. Because our faith and yaqeen to Allah is weak, is low. We don't think about Allah.
How can it be otherwise that a person with iman, he thinks, he reads Quran, he prays Salah, Ramadan, he practices, and he commits the sins at the same time? And he lies again, commits fraud again.
The reason for this is that inside his heart, he's not thinking about Allah. It's not inside him.
So Allah Ta'ala then gave us karam and his grace. The word of Allah Ta'ala announced,
do whoever this amal of mine, he grabs hold of this action, Allah says, I promise that I will solidify your attention and thoughts and regard towards me. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatahu liyukhrijahum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. Subhanallah. Al-Quran. What a great definition and praise Allah has given. So we learn today that why is Allah giving us dhikr? Why does He enable us to do dhikr? Why does He request us to do dhikr? Why does Allah Ta'ala make us do dhikr? Yes, that this is the situation. Just like a king, for example, the king, when you go to him, you have to salute him, give salam to the king, then bow, and then there's etiquettes in front of the king, because the kings demand these etiquettes. Why? Because they want that this man should respect me, he should honor me, that I am the king, I am the leader. Yes, and speak to me, look at me directly, bow. But as Allah has no condition like this. Allah is independent from these needs. Allah is not dependent of anybody. Allah says everyone in the world is dependent on me. Allah has no need for our dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I have no need for your dhikr. Does Allah need our dhikr? What need does Allah for our dhikr? No. So what we learn is that the dhikr Allah is making us do, there's a reason for it. And the reason for that is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants to save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allah says that when you do my dhikr and remember me for this reason, Allah says do my dhikr because the world you're going into, that there are many things that will distract you and deviate you and take your mind off the hereafter. Allah says I'm giving you an action, take hold of it strong. If you take hold of it strong, Allah Ta'ala says every moment you will pay attention to me and think about me. And when your thinking is about me and you pay attention to me and focus on me, the more this is ingrained in your heart, nobody needs to give you nasiha. You say, oh, Allah has ordered this, why shouldn't I do this? No, Baba, I'm going to pass away, I shouldn't do this wrong, I should do these actions. There's punishment for doing wrong. The khawf, the fear of Allah will come. The fear of Allah will be generated inside you. And whenever we are about to do a sin, commit a sin, consider and understand there's something lacking in me, that I'm not paying attention to Allah, I'm not focusing on Allah. I need to make that strong. I need to develop that, and that's the dhikr of Allah. The more a person does the dhikr of Allah, performs the dhikr of Allah, remember this, the more he does dhikr repeatedly, Allah promises, the more that person in his heart, he will think about Allah, focus on Allah, pay attention to Allah, become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Subhanallah. It'll be so strong that all the other things he will not think about after that. Just like, for example, I give the example that if you want to buy a house or get a house or acquire a house, you keep thinking about it, talking about it, and you keep on repeating it. And the person who focuses on Allah, pays attention to Allah, the tariqah for that is very simple. Allah says, do my dhikr. Wadhkurullaha kathiran. That's it. Wadhkurullaha kathiran. Allah has said that every ibadah, wherever you are, whenever you do dhikr and talk about dhikr, Allah says, kathir, do my dhikr kathir. So that the more you do high quantity, high number, abundance, the more in your heart, Allah says, my focus will be ingrained. So my brothers, dhikr, this is the gathering of dhikr, alhamdulillah, the majlis of dhikr. So don't just think this gathering is that, oh, we're just here for this gathering for the sake of dhikr. No, your heart with firmness, with strength, always keep your heart established and continually doing dhikr Allah. And there's no other benefit, I've told you this, there's no other benefit, there's no secondary benefit. Dhikr Allah's grace and mercy, such a great reward of, despite giving this great gift to us, Allah has given us favor that you'll do dhikr, it's your benefit. But on top of that, I'll give you reward as well, I says, on top of that. Bonus, nur ala nur, light beyond light. One benefit is already that we're getting the preparation for the hereafter and thoughts on Allah. But Allah says, due to doing dhikr, you will make your hereafter and you'll look after your hereafter. On top of that, you'll have the thawab. And the more you do dhikr, if your dhikr is weak, then your thoughts will be distracted. And when you don't think about Allah, and your attention to Allah is weak, then you won't do the action that Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do in the world. And Allah says, you will go back and you will go back. So this, brothers, my colleagues, is the dhikr of Allah. Learn it, and learn the dhikr of Allah, and if you've learned dhikr from a shaykh and you have a connection with a teacher, then with sincerity do the action of dhikr. It's not a joke. Death is running after us. Death is running after us. So be sincere. Have regard and do the dhikr and the amount you need to do when your shaykh prescribes it with that niyyah, morning and evening, and with sincerity and regularity take hold of the dhikr of Allah. And never in our face or in our mouth should come the words that dhikr is not benefiting me. Never.
That dhikr is not benefiting me, or I'm not feeling the benefits, or I'm not getting any progression.
One person came to Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullah alayh, and he said, "Hazrat, Honorable Sir, I'm not getting any benefit from dhikr." He gave a great answer. He said that you don't understand this. Is this not enough benefit for you that you're just saying Allah's name? Is this not enough for you, benefit? Don't you even know that to say Allah's name, what a great barakah and reward you are acquiring? So is there no greater benefit than this? That Allah Ta'ala has given you the tawfiq, the ability. There are millions of people who they can't even say Allah's name on their mouth. They don't have iman. They are free from iman, those people. So what a great achievement. That is this not enough reward? That when you sit and you don't say the name of Layla, you're not saying the name of some other woman or some female or wasteful nonsense talk. Rather, whose name are you mentioning? Allah. Allah's name on your lips. Is there no greater benefit than this? So what is the benefit here? Is this a lesser benefit? Alhamdulillah, every second you're getting closer to Allah. Every moment closer to Allah. And we have this yaqeen, we are in that position. Then the other benefit after that. Then you look at the other benefit. We don't even need to look at any other benefits. If this action is drawing us close to Allah, says, is this not enough, this benefit? SubhanAllah, we come in the morning. Allah's given hukum, come in the morning to dhikr. Sabihu bukratan wasila. Do dhikr in the morning and the evening. Do celebrate your morning with my dhikr, Allah says. Celebrate your evening with my dhikr, Allah says. Morning and evening, Allah has made such two times of the day. Anyway, this topic will go off track. So that this is the two extremes of the day. Night, morning and night. Morning and night. So Allah knows best. He's got hikmah. And on this basis, Allah says, remember me at this time in the morning and also in the evening. Yeah? Then Allah strengthens you. And how easy? That Allah has given us health and energy. Allah says that you do dhikr for your benefit. Okay, on top of that, you get the reward as well. One hajj and one umrah when you do dhikr in the morning. What other benefit do we need? No. I need Jibreel alayhi salam to come to my door. I want to become Qutb. I want to be an Abdal. I want to be a Ghawth. My friends, these are titles. Maybe you have become this already. Say SubhanAllah. Maybe you become this already. The Qutb, does he have horns on his head, a Qutb? Tell me. An Abdal, does he have a much longer beard than the others? The Abdal, does he not eat food? Does he not have a wife? Does he not fight and quarrel with his wife? Yes, many Ghawth and Abdal that have situations like this. They're sitting at home. Maybe he's on the banks of the road, the pavement. Yes, and he's selling melons in Pakistan. Yes, we learn that he's the Abdal of this area. The Abdal of this area. Tell me. So do you realize, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, look at him, that there was a person, and the people didn't know about him. And he used to sit in the evening, and he used to have a shack, and he used to sell melons. And karbuz, and people didn't know about him. That what was he? Great wali, and he was the Abdal of that area. The Abdal of that area in Lahore, the person. So it could be that if you have istiqamah, consistency in your action, that Allah Ta'ala has given to you the duty, I swear and say that you are on the high, high levels of wilayat. What other guarantee do you need? Allah says that do istiqamah, be steadfast on the work I've given to you, the task. With istiqamah, the task I've given to you, what is that? Dhikrullah. And dhikrullah, what is the sign of dhikrullah? Of istiqamah, steadfastness. That you will see the effects that whatever Allah Ta'ala is telling you to stop doing, prohibiting, you will refrain from them. Whatever Allah is ordering to do, you will be doing the action. When in your life this comes, that you're doing dhikrullah, and your life is such as a reflection that you are following Allah Ta'ala's orders. The orders Allah has given, you're doing, and you're giving sacrifices for them. And you're bearing the difficulties, and you're crushing your desires, and you're stopping from what Allah Ta'ala has told you to stop. And you're crushing your desires and giving sacrifice. When this becomes your halat, the condition, then you don't know what maqam you have reached to, subhanAllah. Why don't you have yaqeen that such a great action you're doing, Allah will leave you empty-handed, will He? No, that you're doing dhikr Allah one time in the morning, and Allah's giving you hajj and umrah thawab all night, lifelong. If you do this istiqamah, it's steadfast, then will Allah not make you a kutab? Will He not make you a wali? Tell me. Say subhanAllah. So we don't want to do the actions. According to Allah's guidance, we say, we're not getting no benefit, I'm not feeling the benefit. What wasteful talk. Will we do the action, brother? Will we do dhikr? Yes. Make a plan, children, life. Don't know how much life is left, my friends. Yes, no one's young, I'll do it when I'm young or older or further. I'll get ill, I'll do it when I get a pain in my heart, I'll do it. No, no. This is written, whilst you're sitting, you may pass away. Whilst you're walking, you may pass away. There's no guarantee for the end point. If it doesn't come here, it might come somewhere else. The death, you might be traveling, you might be in Turkey, and death will come in Turkey. You might be in Saudi, death will come in Saudi. You might be in America, USA, death will come there. There's no predetermined, you know yourself that, oh, I'll pass away in this country. Oh, Allah Ta'ala will send you to that land where you're going to pass away. Allah will send you himself. Where you plan, I'm going to live here, die here, I'm going to pass away here. People come to my janazah, this many people come. There'll be my murids, my students. And you're preparing here. Allah says, I'll send you to such a place in the world, nobody will know you there. Say Subhanallah, and you'll pass away there. So this is this. So we just need to do one action, that prepare for the hereafter. And the preparation is very easy. What is that? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. Then read the Quran, and Allah's orders we will implement. We'll pray Salah and we'll obey Allah's orders. If we do Dhikrullah, we'll read Quran and we'll obey Allah's orders. We'll pray Salah and we'll obey Allah's orders. We'll perform Hajj and come back. And we will know about halal and haram at that time. We'll do Umrah and come back. We'll know about halal and haram then. We'll know about parda and hijab and how to keep the right face and appearance and how to save our eyes from the evil glare and how to earn the money and what job to have. Is this jais or not permissible? We'll have fikr that what's Allah Ta'ala's order? Am I doing according to Allah's order or not? If I'm not doing that, then I will leave the biggest of things. One person today, I met him, the poor soul. May Allah Ta'ala give him high darajat and high status. Great point. He said, I used to work in a bank. He said to me, young guy. Young brother, I said then. He said, I've left my job in the bank. I said, is it? You left the job? He's young man, youth. I said, why'd you leave it? He said, somebody told me that it's haram to work there, so I left it. That today I've got no job now at the moment. I said that you have taken that reward, the 100 years of ibadah we might not get. That your focus and intention are like solid. Solid. So this is giving the sacrifice. Does anyone leave the occupation and job? If you are someone at home, Abaji, somebody told me today, and he had some flexibility. There was some flexibility there with time, but he said, no, I left it suddenly. Inshallah, Allah will give to you, I said. Allah will give to you. So there are people present like that in the world. Well, what other wilayah do we need? Huh? That I say to you, if you see him, he's a wali Allah. He's a wali of Allah, that person. And this is also a high rank and status. Remember, this is a high status that when Allah Ta'ala gives him darajat, then he considers himself to be low and humble. Yes, this is a dua. That Allah Ta'ala make me such a human being that people in the world think I'm pious, but I consider myself to be low and humble. I said that this is the high level of wilayat. He said, oh, I'm a very sinful person, I'm this person. So you know the people, those people who are nothing at all, they think they're pious. But the pious people, who Allah gives that rajah to, then he didn't think he did anything good, he left the job, sacrificed. I said, you're wali Allah. Subhanallah. And for us, what is wali? Oh, the angels are coming, going, and he's gathering. He's looking at paradise and dreams and visions, and he's talking to the people in the unseen. This is not walayat. This is not wali Allah. Walayat is difficulties coming, problems coming, hurdles coming, losing the job, and bad things are coming, and haram is coming, but you're doing dua, you've got sabr and patience. And istiqamat, that you are leaving the wrong towards the good. The big difficulty will come, but you are praying fajr in the masjid. You have big problems and difficulties, but you have the habit of dhikr and you're coming to do dhikr. This is the calm and steadfastness. Yes, very simple is the deen. Tell me. So easy is the deen. Allah Ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa-salamu ala sayyidina al-mursaleen. شفيع المسلمين تعالى ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه وأحفاد المؤمنين وذرياته بعد بيته وصلى على آل إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ثبتنا الايمان وامتنا الايمان واحشرنا يوم القيامه مع الايمان يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا فاتح الحاجات افتح حاجاتنا يا دافع البلجات ادفع بلجاتنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا شافي الامراض اشف امراضنا يا الله سبك الله ما فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے سجدہ و قبیر اسمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہمارے ایک دوست محمد پانڈول صاحب کا انتقال ہوا بڑے اچھے آدمی تھے بڑے نیک آدمی تھے اکثر ان سے ملاقات رہتی تھی उनके इंतकाल हुआ पिछले दिन, उनके लिए दुआ फरमाए, अल्लाह ताला उनकी बख्शिश फरमाए और आज की इस मजलिस का सवाब भी अल्लाह ताला उनको बख्श दे। अल्लाह ताला उनके दर्जात को बुलंद फरमाए, अल्लाह ताला उनकी कब्र के मामलात आसान फरमाए। अल्लाह हमारे माँ बाप को बख्श दे, हमारे सहल वकीन को बख्श दे, हमारे रिश्तेदारों को बख्श दे, या अल्लाह पूरी उम्मत को बख्श दे। वसल्लल्लाहु तआला अला खैर खल्क़िही मुहम्मद व आलिही सहाबी अजमाइन बिरहमतिक या अरहमर राहिमीन। सुभान रब्बिक रब्बिल इज्जति अम्मा यसिफून, वसलामुन अलल मुरसलीन, वलहमदुलिल्लाहि।